joined by Andy Baggerly, CSN Bags of Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area. I like to give the whole title to you. But a pleasure to be in spring training, and I always tell people if you read any blogs at all, you want to read Andy Baggerly at CSN Bags on Twitter. How are you?
I'm good. It's great to be on with you again. Another year of baseball.
Yeah, amazing. And they won the World Series.
How about this? These short off seasons, huh?
Yeah, amazing. And, you know, it's funny being down here in spring training. I always like to give the fans an idea of what it's like for you and me to be down here in Scottsdale and sit out here and look at beautiful Scottsdale Stadium and be hang on the dugout and talk to everybody. Take us through a typical morning for you.
Well, you know, it's funny. Well, the first thing I saw this morning as I walked in the ballpark was the 2010 World Championship sign, the big one that they have out on the elevator shaft out there beyond the right field fence. They had taken that down and were in the process of putting up the 2012 World Championship sign. So I said to the guy who was drilling in some holes there, I said they really didn't consider the workload they were giving you when they won another World Series. But that you find little moments like that all over the place, and every single time they kind of hit me with a little jolt. Is this team won two of the last three World Series? It's still hard for me to believe, and I was there to see every moment of it. So I know it's going to be difficult for everybody still to kind of believe.
Yeah, and it's a very relaxed atmosphere. I mean, we get here about 8:45, and in the clubhouse, guys walking around. It's a big group here. I mean, there's 67 people or so in camp.
Yeah, well, Ramon Ramirez, he was, you know, instrumental, got a World Series ring in 2010. They signed him late to a minor league contract. He gets over here, and Mike Murphy has to say, hey, I'm sorry, the only number I have for you is number 92. It's no sign of disrespect. I just don't have any more numbers. So it is a very, very crowded room, I wouldn't be shocked if some of the veterans are thinking, okay, when's round one of cuts coming up?
I will say this, so there's a method to the madness, and it goes with the WBC and also with the pitching staff itself and the veterans, because this is about a 40-day spring training when you look at it. And you want to get out of here healthy. Now, that's the goal of any ball club, and get in some shape. But they're not going to push these guys early in the spring training season, which means playing time for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. And it is kind of funny. We have 36 pitchers in camp when there's basically just one job that's not taken what we know to be the opening day pitching staff if everybody stays healthy. But you're right. There are a lot of guys that I think of that are going to get great opportunities. Gary Brown is one of them. He's one of two non-roster outfielders in this camp. And you're going to lose Angel Pagan, Andres Torres, going to the WBC. So he's going to get a lot of playing time. And, there are a lot of guys who fall into that category and will get a little more exposure than they otherwise would. It's just kind of stunning to me that the A's don't have one player going to the World Baseball Classic, and the Giants have 11 players in this camp who are going to go. So, you're right. We're going to see some different people, and that's always information's always good.
Yeah, looking at the roster, though, you made an interesting comment there, and Bruce Bochy sort of made a comment about this the other day, and how many spots could be open in the bullpen? And I think someone mentioned George Contos, and of course he had a great postseason and a good September for this ball club after coming up midseason. And Bochy said, well, you know, maybe not everything is guaranteed. I like competition. Does George Contos have to show something here in spring to get his spot?
No, I think it may be more of a situation where it's his job to lose. But I think what Bochy's saying is, look, this guy is not quote unquote established yet. And it certainly looks like he's going to be in line for a spot. But, he definitely wants to keep Contos motivated and keep the pedal to the metal. And that's why he's not just going to go ahead and pencil people in at this stage.
Well, he obviously has his pitching staff set up the way he wants it. At least he's got everybody around. Vogelsong will head for Team USA. He will pitch this Saturday against the Angels in the home opener here in Scottsdale. He did announce today that Matt Cain will go in Game 1 of the regular season against Clayton Kershaw. I guess that's no surprise.
No surprise. And we asked Bochy if he really had to think long and hard about this one. He said, well, no, but by the same token, he really believes he has five starting pitchers who could go out and be worthy of that assignment, given what Barry Zito did in the postseason, the way Ryan Vogelsong pitched in the postseason. We all know Tim Lincecum has pitched on opening day four times. Zito's pitched twice, and Bumgarner still has a lot that he's accomplished at a very young age. So, you kind of know when a manager is saying something to be political, not to hurt anybody's feelings or feel like somebody's left out. And you really did sense that Bochy wasn't saying this just to say it. He really does believe in all five of these starting pitchers, probably more than he has at any point in his career after being sized up for that second World Series ring.
Well, why not? I mean, his number five starter won 15 games for him, Barry Zito, and pitched, as I've dubbed it, I think the most significant game in Giants franchise history. I mean, against St. Louis in Game 5. I mean, Barry Zito comes out and throws the gem against St. Louis and gets the series back to San Francisco, then opens up against Verlander. And for Barry Zito, is redemption. And I think Bruce Bochy ought to feel really good about the pitching staff, except maybe that last spot, which is the real competition.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's an interesting statement. If you had to pick what was the biggest start by a starting pitcher in Giants history, there are a few you could pick. I mean, look how good Tim Lincecum had to be in Game 1 of the NLDS mm-hmm. against the Braves a couple years ago, striking out 14, one of the best postseason starts ever, right up there with Halliday's no-hitter. And he had to be that good to win, and that got them on the way to winning the World Series in 2010. And you're right, all those elimination games last year, that was the difference. The Giants in 2010 didn't play one elimination game for all the torture. There wasn't one game they could have lost and they would have gone home. So, you know, those pitchers had to come up big, and, you know, Kane among them. He had to, you know, give them a chance to win in all three of those postseason clinching starts. The last one obviously finished off a sweep against Detroit, but the other two were deciding games in Cincinnati and against the Cardinals. And he was able to, even while he was a little bit tired, didn't have his best stuff, he was able to grit through with what he had. And I think that's why he's so admired.
Well, and that's why you get the honor of pitching opening day. Though it doesn't always go to maybe the best starter, but it's an honor that goes to someone to start the opening game. It was the Tom Seavers of the world, the Robin Roberts of the world, the Marischals of the world, and Kane gets that honor.
Yeah, it's not the first game of a postseason series where you're really looking at matchups and it's a must-win game. I mean, of course you want to win that game, but you're looking at the guy who is setting the tone. And I think that that is the guy not only who gives you the best chance to win, but the guy that you have the most respect for. And, you know, look at what Kane did last year. He started for the NL All-Star team. He pitched a perfect game. You know, we talked about what he did in the playoffs, 16-5 record, a 2.79 ERA. You really couldn't. It might be the most decorated season by a pitcher in Giants history, all told.
Yeah, and that's why he gets the shot against Clayton Kershaw on opening day. Well, he pitched some batting practice today, a live batting practice, and a little bit of a jolt. Pablo Sandoval hit a rocket back to the mound, came through the glove up. What happened, Andy?
Well, yeah, just came through the glove up in time, so his reaction skills are good. You know, a lot of pitchers will use that L-screen, and Kane said he just doesn't like that L-screen. He feels like he's throwing around it a little bit, and I don't think I saw any pitchers using that L-screen, at least on the main field. What struck me and what struck a lot of the hitters was that the pitchers were throwing a lot of off-speed stuff, a lot of curveballs. Posey called for a first-pitch curveball to Pablo Sandoval from Kane, and I think everybody laughed at that. You know, you little trickery right off the start there never hurts. So, you know, and Angel Pagan said, this is great. I don't want these guys telling me what's coming. I want to be able to find out where I am as a hitter because I got to be ready for the World Baseball Classic in a couple weeks. So good competition, spirited competition here on day one.
Well, it's interesting. I always tell the story about the early win, the great Hall of Famer, the 300-game winner. You know, in those days, the pitchers pitched batting practice, and early win said, hey, do not hit the ball back to the box. Do not do it. Well, it's spring training, and Joe Cunningham, a very nice left-handed hitter for the White Sox, hits a rocket back to the box. Early win throws the next pitch, hits him in the arm, and breaks his arm.
Jeez,
and
yeah.
You learn, don't hit the ball back to the box. So for Pablo, you know, he may have to learn a lesson here.
Well, last year, Hector Sanchez hit one off Kane's, I guess, hindquarters, for lack of a better word. And so, you know, you saw what kind of year he had. So maybe he's just trying to do everything exactly the same. You know, baseball players are superstitious.
What's your feeling about the camp in general? Just the attitude of the players, maybe in comparison to 2011 when Showtime was here and, you know, all the cameras were here. It's a little different camp.
It is. It seems very calm. Everybody's very excited to get back together and see each other. It's the same group, really, without any major deletions. And they have a lot of confidence that they can do this again. And I think that they do have that little bit of an edge that the perception from others is that they were a little bit lucky or the ball bounced their way. And you know, they realize that they still have maybe something to prove to people. You know, I see a group that's going to go out there and compete. And what they went through last year really forged them together. I didn't really think when I was covering the team during the year last year, wow, this is a really solid group. You know, you had some guys who were coming up on free agency. You had Timmy was having a rough time. It didn't seem to be the most cohesive clubhouse. Didn't seem very divisive either, but it didn't seem remarkable to me.
Yeah.
And then something happened when that team got to Cincinnati, and they really came together in a way that it just has to happen organically or it doesn't happen.
Boy, nice to have Andy Baggerly with us. Boy, the beginning of a long season for you and I. We'll be talking a lot of baseball this
absolutely
season.
Looking forward to it.
All right, now, anyone jumping out at you in the camp so far? And for me, a couple of the young catchers, I enjoyed watching them hit. Tyler LaTorre and Johnny Monell have hit the ball well. Anyone jumping out at you? Hunter Pence, Pagan, Sandoval, anything that you're noticing?
Well, I thought Pagan and Pablo both looked like they were ready today. They had really quick hands, quick bat. Buster looks like Buster. I don't think there's no catching bullpens every other day like there was a year ago. He's just out there as another guy right now. That strikes me. And one guy that I was impressed with today was Chad Gaudin, who's got a decent shot, along with Scott Proctor, Ramon Ramirez. They're the most experienced of those guys, perhaps that last bullpen spot. And Gaudin is facing Posey, and he threw an off-speed pitch, and Posey lost the handle on his bat and threw his bat into the netting. When you can make the reigning NL MVP do that, that's pretty good, isn't it?
Not bad, not bad. Andy Baggerly, always a pleasure to have him with us here on KMBR, CSN Bay Area. Is it still Bay Area anymore, or just CSN?
No, CSN Bay Area.
Yeah, CSN Bay Area. Follow Andy all year long, as I say on Twitter. CSN Bags. And the outfield spot, you mentioned Gary Brown. There is a fifth spot. There's Torres and Blanco. Bochy seems to be heading towards some platoon there if it works out. Pagan in center, Pence in right. Maybe another outfield spot available, or they can shift Belt out there when Posey's got to go to first and get Hector Sanchez in the game. How's that going to play out?
Well, yeah, they could, and there are two reasons they could. Like you said, Belt could play a little bit of left field to keep his bat in the lineup if he's, you know, really hitting well on the days that Posey plays first base. And also, don't forget, you know, normally when you platoon two left fielders, you've got like a Pat Burrell type guy or somebody who's not quite so mobile. You've got two guys who could play all three outfield positions platooning in left there with Blanco. We all know what he can do defensively, and the same goes for Andres Torres. And I think that allows you to maybe go with just four outfielders plus Belt because you know you can have all three positions covered. But, you know, it's going to probably depend on, A, who's healthy down the stretch and of this spring, and B, who really is opening eyes. You know, who's going to be the Gregor Blanco of this camp? Could it be a Wilson Valdez or a Kensuke Tanaka or could they go out and get another player? Or who knows, maybe Ryan Theriault will find out he can't get a starting job anywhere and decide he wants to re-sign. I do think that that could be another way that they could get an extra bench player on the roster who's not necessarily an outfielder. You know, if a Cole Gillespie who's in camp, if he has a great spring, maybe he wins a job as that sort of fifth outfielder.
No, I agree 100% with you. I enjoy watching Tanaka play. He takes a lot of ground balls out there. He has been around the baseball field before, I will tell you. He knows his way around the infield. Hitting-wise, got a little bit of that running swing that many of the Japanese players have.
Yeah, he definitely does. The way he sort of swings his hips and is almost totally turned toward first base as he's sort of, you know, he's got a slappy kind of swing. But it's worked for him throughout his career in Japan, and, you know, he's a good defender at second base. I think he's going to try to play a little on the left side. You know, you think, well, it might be hard for him to make this team if all he can play is second base, but then you remember that, well, Theriault kind of had that role, and he could only play second base. The fact that Arias can play a couple different positions, maybe they don't need a guy who can play multiple positions, but it always helps. The more versatility you have, the better.
Yeah, and so it's an interesting camp. Really, 22 of the 25 spots maybe are solidified. Not a lot of national press here. Giants still under the radar. I think someone tweeted to me today, 14-1 to win the World Series, and they've got two or three teams in the National League ahead of them again. I guess that's the fate of these world champions.
Well, and the one common thread between the two World Series teams is that pitching staff, right?
Yeah.
And that pitching staff is still intact. So you really can't think that the Giants aren't favorites to win the West or go back or you know, once you get in the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen. So it's hard to say they're the favorites to win the World Series. I just look at which teams are favorites within their division. And right now, I see the NL West as a two-team race. And apologies to the Diamondbacks, Rockies, and Padres. And I think that the Giants should be seen as the favorites because the Dodgers need to have all their parts come together. The Giants, we already know their parts already fit together.
Well, you must not read the Arizona Republic because they've been all over the Diamondbacks and bumping them up every day, Nick Pecoro and everybody else. So we'll see what happens. They have a lot of pitching issues that have to be sorted out. One last thought for you. This is such a veteran team now of two World Series that they've won, two tough playoffs that they've made it through. They're five games back with 25 to go. I don't think they're going to panic.
I think
for once, this is a ball club that you could call them a veteran, like a seasoned playoff ball club, like the old teams.
Sure. Well, and I think that, you know, this is not to say they don't have any question marks or concerns. They certainly do. I think the biggest concern is always health. It should be for every team. And you can't forget just how remarkable it was that the Giants got 30 starts from five different starters last year. The Reds also happened to get that benefit. No team had done that since the 05 White Sox. It's just very, very rare. So I think it's going to be very important that some of the younger pitchers step up, that we see good things from a Chris Heston, some of these guys who are rising up the minor leagues, because we're probably going to see him in the big leagues at some point this season.
Well, we got a month to watch him, I'll tell you that. So that's what Andy and I do. We watch a lot of baseball here, and there'll be a lot of names that you'll hear as this February begins with the games on Saturday right through the sort of the end of March in the Bay Bridge Series back on March the 30th in the Bay Area. Andy, thank you so much, as always, and it's a pleasure to have you on with me, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Well, it's always my pleasure, Marty. Thank you.
All right, very good. Good baseball stuff right here on KNBR 680, the sports leader.